We are learning Simas Samach Zayin, and we're up to Sif Dalet. This is the halachas of Shmitas Ksafim. We learned the background rules in Tavshin Pei Aleph. Now that we're in Tavshin Pei Beis in Shmita, we go on. Since Shmita is Meshametas B'Saifa, since Shmita is Meshamet at the end of the year, which is 12 months from now, 12 months and 3 days from now, so what? It's a leap year, so it's 12 months and 3 days from now. This is still going to be the Negea the coming year. We're up to different pratim of what Shmita is Meshamet. The first half of the Simon is Shmita's Ksafim, the second half is Prozbul. We're still in the middle of Shmita's Ksafim. And this is sort of a segue to learning a number of Chayshimishpad rules, overall Chayshimishpad dinim. So today we go through some relatively easy seifim, but they all touch on basic ideas of Chayshim Mishpat. Sif Dalet talks about shutfis. Mishaya shutfim chaveirai. Somebody is a shutif with his friend. That means they're shutfim and they're still friends, which happens sometimes. Now what happens in a shutfis, especially in a cash society, is that at the end of the day, someone takes home the money. There's some agreement between them. Usually one partner takes care of the money, of the finances. The other one maybe takes care of production or delivery. So one of them, Shemitah, comes and passes, and one of them is holding money that belongs to the Shutfis. So the question is, if it's the last night of Shemitah, and you have Reuven and Shimon are Shutfim, and there's $10,000 cash in the Shutfis, and Shimon is holding it. So one could argue, well, he's holding $10,000. $5,000 is his, and $5,000 is his partner's. So maybe Shemitah should be Mishamet. And then you can keep the whole $10,000. What do you say to that? Doesn't sound right. Okay, so let's see Sif Dalet. And they were busy with schayra and with shtarais, with debt. And there's something left in one shutif's hands. Ein shvius misham tasai, shein shvius a mishametes ela milva. The shvius al mishamet alone. There's no loan here. Well, before the Havamina, what's the Maskana? Now, why is it that Shemitah is not Meshamet? Now, we all understand that there's no real loan that's taking place here. But the question is, what's the explanation? What's the explanation? Why, one Shutif has the money at home, in Kan Milva, what does that mean? There are two possible explanations to this.
Yeah, we're defining Shutifs, that's the question, really.
Exactly. Question is, how do you define shutfis? Okay, so that's how the Smayud Beis explains it. If you look in the Smayud Beis, shutfim chaver vayim misaskin. Pirish explains shnei misaskin bay. They're both in the business. Umashiyesh biad kolecha mishal chaveray. And when one person is holding, that's also his friends. Ein shem hava love. It's not a loan. Ela shechelak v'chaveiroi mufkad v'yadoi. The chelak of his friend is a pekadon. That's exactly what you said. Now what that means, if you give me a pekadon, you tell me, you know, I have to travel, I have cash in my house, hold it for me. When I come back, give it back to me. So when I'm holding that money, it's a pekadon, it's not a halvah. And the shmita is not mishamin, I have to give it back to you. I'm not allowed to use it. If I want to spend the money, so the assumption is I'm not allowed to use it. The rule is, if you give me money to watch, if you give it to me tsrurim, if you give it in a bundle, I'm not allowed to spend it. If you say, you just give me loose cash, you say, no, I have to go for Shabbos, I don't walk around with money, here, hold this cash for me, and you give me loose cash, so I count it up, and I can mix it with my money, I could spend it. But it's still really a pekadon. Just the assumption is that you're not marked it on that bundle. You didn't bundle it up to me. But what? A milv is given like tzar. Pekadon is lav like tzar. So if you give me, even if you give me loose money, if it's my last money, God forbid, I can't spend it. I have to retain the amount of money connected there. So that's the explanation you said. It's a pekadon. And That's an understanding of shutfus. There's a Yisaidis Dikaran in the Darim, in the beginning of Perak HaShutfim. Okay, there are two Perak HaShutfim in Shas. One is in the Darim, and the other is in the first Perak in Baba Basra. In the Darim, Perak HaShutfim, it's great for Daf Yomi. If I remember correctly, it starts at Amit Beis, I think. It's two lines of a Mishnah and a gigantic Ran. Like for Daf Yomi that morning, you just need a couple of minutes. I mean, I don't remember what the other of it is like. But you got to learn the Ran. So you do need a lot of time for Daf Yomi. The Ran there clears how Shutfus works. If I have I'm a Shutfus with someone, I have a dollar, you could understand, well, 50 cents is mine, 50 cents is yours. Or you could understand Shutfus, that what? The entire dollar is mine, and the entire dollar is yours. Shutfus is that we both own everything. If you go with that explanation, that we both own everything, it's not even a pekudin. It's just, it's mami shel shutfus. And memela, it's not mishamit, because it's, every dollar of it is mine, every penny of it is your mine, every penny of it is yours. These are two ways to understand shutfus. Now, obviously, if every penny is mine, every penny is yours, there's no halva. It's my money, just like it's your money. It's not pekudin really either. And that's another explanation. Now, both explanations would lead to the same result, that Shemitah is not Mishabim. However, there's one tricky aspect to it. If you give me a pekudin, am I allowed to spend the money? No. No, I spend the money. Unless there's some type of agreement. When shutfim, someone and I are partners in a business. At the end of the day, I take the cash home. It would seem from here, I'm not allowed to spend the money. Even if I plan to pay back, I'm not a guy. I'm just going home, I want to stop at the grocery, all I have in my pocket is shutfus money. It seems from here that I'm not allowed to spend the money. Because if I'm allowed to spend the money, then it's halva money. Then it's not pekudin money. Then it will be halva money. So I'm not sure how a person looks at that. If there is an umdana, if there's an assumption that shutfim are not makbid on each other, that when they need a couple of dollars to use it, so I don't know, maybe once I spend it, then it becomes a halva. I'm not sure how to look at it. The Shulchan Aruch is clear, Shemitah is not mishamin, it's not a halva. But going along with that is the idea that I shouldn't be allowed to spend it. That's really what's happening. I'm borrowing it. So maybe it's similar to when I have a real pekudin of yours. If there's an umdana, that if I'm 100% positive the person doesn't mind, am I allowed to spend it? If I'm 100% positive, somebody gave me a pekudin, he gave me a case of sodas, it's Erev Shabbos. I'm positive, he's my friend. I know that if I asked him, he would say, yeah, you could use a soda, just replace it. But I didn't ask him. Am I allowed to use it? Yes. Come on, talk like a London. Tyson El Mitzias says that that's a case of Yerushalayim Midas. It's equivalent of Yerushalayim Midas. What's Yerushalayim Midas? You lost something, I found it. If you would know that you lost it, you left an umbrella on the train. The umbrella on the train, forget it, it's gone. It's gone. I go on the train, I find an umbrella. It has a Jewish name on it. It says a Goldberg on it, a Goldsmith on it. I pick it up, it's got a phone number, it's got an address. So what do? So Rava says, Yerushalayim Midas have a Yish. Now, if you realize that you're Miyayish, it's good. Let's say the guy just got off the train. And he left it behind. Now the train pulled out. I don't know him. I saw him sitting next to me. He got off. And look, he left his umbrella. It's Yerushalayim Midas. He doesn't know about it. So Rava says, Yerushalayim Midas have a Yish. I could keep it. Abaya says, Yerushalayim Midas lay have a Yish. That I can't keep it. It's Yerushalayim Miyayish. Yemunachat Shiav Elio. If he's Miyayish after I pick it up, that's called Yisura Asimiyadeh, the Yish doesn't help later. So, Koyt Abaya, Yehimunach. Now, we pass the Kabaya. That's Yalkagam, that's Yud. Yerushalayim Midas. Tosis holds that I'm not allowed to use the soda. I'm not allowed to use the... Tosis talking about food. Tosis example is by Klach Etzel Yofis. Tosis example is exactly the case I gave you. Guest came, and I know the owner of the food... You can take it. It's the last one. The owner of the food, I know he's not Makbin. And I can't offer it to my guests because Yerushalayim Midas. Tosis says it's awesome. There's a shach in two places in Chayshe Mishpat. One is a gigantic shach in which the shach argues with Tosis. Of course, he says typically, I allude every Tosis, I can't argue with Tosis. Then he goes on to argue with Tosis with many rayas. Chayshe Mishpat is full of umdinas. If I know you're not Makbid, what's the problem? There's a second shach later on in the Shins already, I think Shin Tzadik something. He says, Kosafti, and it's four lines. He says what he wrote there. That's the one to learn. That's the halacha l'maisa. And he says that why shouldn't it work? The fundamental difference between Yerushalayim Midas and me using your bottle of soda, the fundamental difference, Yerushalayim Midas, you don't want to be miayish. You'd rather get it back. Yerushalayim Midas, it's against your will. You have no choice. You left your umbrella on the train. You're stuck. You're miayish. Yerushalayim Midas is sort of against your will. Abaye says it has to happen. When you have a friend who gives you a case of soda and you say, can I use a bottle? So he says, I'm very happy you should use it. Don't be foolish. Use it. Of course use it. I'm happy you should use it. It's different than Yerushalayim Midas. And the shach, therefore, is mechalik. And there's a difference of opinion all the way down halacha lemaisa. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav has in the Chayshe Mishpat section, I believe he says to do like the shach, to be samech on him. And I think the Kitzur says like Tosfos. Like the Poskim Achrayim also argue about it. They make sort of a pshara that if you know from past experience, he says, oh, you could use it. So a past mechila works for the future too.
But
a talis is different. Nichalei levin mitzvah b'mamayne. For a mitzvah, you're always allowed, right? So nichalei levin mitzvah b'mamayne. Also a mitzvah. Okay. You're using up the soda. It's true. It's true. But in the shalei midas part, it's similar. But I mean, what would it be if it's a mitzvah that you use up? Okay, that's what we say. The soda could be a mitzvah too. What? Yeah, but the Tosis hold. The Gemara says Toshma. Remember Nail Matthias? Toshma. The Amora had guests, and he threw out Tainim for them, and he ate, and he didn't eat. Why didn't he eat? Because the Gemara brings a raya from there, from the ones that ate. They Yerushalayim Midas have a Yerush. Tosis says, what's the raya? Tosis says the raya because Abaye Shita is not a din in Yish, it's a din klali that Shalom Yidas, nothing happens. The Shach is saying that it's still limited, in certain cases.
But in the Shach, you don't have to be because you can go into the guy's house in the Shach's case and just take, if you know him.
I don't know about that, but okay. But at any rate, in the case of Shutfis, it becomes a little complicated. When a Shutf has money of the Shutfis in his house, that's the way it works with, very often with partners. I know my father and his brother, they were partners in the bakery business. And my uncle took care of the money. My uncle took care of my father passed away. My uncle told me, your father never questioned anything. We always got along. We always trusted each other. And there was always, they may have argued about whether they should use nuts in the Ragaloch or not use nuts in the Ragaloch. But Baruch Hashem, they never had. But he had the money in the house. Does that mean he's not allowed to use the money? Does that mean he's not allowed to use it if he needs a few dollars? So like to Shach, it would seem to be mutter because of Yerushalayim Midas. According to Tosis, it would seem it's Aser. And what we're saying here is that when a Shutef has money, it's not Alva, it's a Pekadon. That's why Shemitah is not Mishamit. So how could it be? I don't understand. The shutif, if you go to Shach, so a shutif has money. So he says, oh, I need $100. I got to go to grocery, I'll take $100. He doesn't mind. I'll take, And then Shemitah will be mishamet $100, like on top of everything? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it works. Now, if you go to Ran Shita, that all Shutfus money belongs totally to everybody, then, one person uses it. Doesn't matter. The money is totally everybody's, and it's not a halfah, it's just totally his. So, Al Kapanim, the halacha here is clear. The halacha in Shemitah is not mishamet what a Shutf has. Should we learn from here that the Sma says, because it's a pekat, should we learn from here that a Shutf can't use Shutfus money? So it needs a clear biur. It's not so clear. If stipulations were made, that's the best thing. If they stipulate, it's the best thing. But this shaila comes up all the time. I just had the shaila. Somebody delivered the Hashanis, the night of Hashana Rabbah, because somebody was selling it upstairs. So he delivered it. So he put it. Somebody came in and they put it in the refrigerator, and then. It happens to be the person that delivered to him isn't Tarav Adas. He always brings me a bucket of Hashanis, overnight Hashanah Rabbah, for my family. And if they run out of it upstairs, so they sell the extra. So my son-in-law was here for Shabbos, and so he was leaving. I wanted to give him two Hashanis, but they delivered to me in the middle of the night. He was leaving. So I wanted to take two from the refrigerator. I'm positive that the fellow wouldn't be makbid. I give him to Hashanis, and in the middle of the night, I'll put two others back. It's from the same seller, the same grower. If anything, mine's are fresher. They're not. Am I allowed to take the two? Huh? Am I allowed to take it? Koy to Taisus, it's Aser. Koy to Shach, it's okay. Koy to Shach, it's okay. What's Bidiyeva? Do I need a kapara? Even like Taisus, if I took it, and then later I tell him, I hope you, Michael, I took it. He says, yeah, that's okay. Okay, your Rechmel says, I don't need. Can you just give him me written down so when I come upstairs? I can. No, it's really, it's a difficult. By Shutfus? You know, the rule of thumb in Chai Shemishbar is we go by the Umdenis that say, unless it's absolutely clear that things changed. Some things changed, but usually we go with the assumptions that exist in Chai Shemishbar. Was there a question of ribis if I give him? Well, the market value is there's no different. So there's no dollar value, even if it's a little better. No, he's saying if it is a loan, then it's a sub. You're right, if it's worth it, if it has a higher dollar value.
Does the work with a cut fund?
Probably not. But the cotton has to be kinder. So it's possible for cotton to be kinder. You're right, the room that probably doesn't want to be cotton. Cotton is worse. Bank account, you mean is it a cotton?
Well, they're allowed to use the money, so
they're allowed to use 90%, I think. Okay, there's no borrow with it because it's an institution. But theory. Not sure. Let's go to Sif Hay.
If he borrows from the current, if the other guy doesn't know the length of the money,
he's
still
mishamed. It's not mishamed. Unilaterally, he creates a mishamed.
Right. The other partner doesn't know.
I don't know. That's a raya.
I don't know.
The question is, if he just borrows based on an umdina, Shemitah is going to be mishamed. The other fellow doesn't know he lent him the money. It's just an umdina. Maybe there's no umdina he would lend it to him if Shemitah passes. I don't know. All right, let's learn Sif Hay. I think your copy just says your gimel on the side. Instead of Hay, it says your gimel. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway, that's Sif Hay. Oriv. Oriv is a guarantor. Shapara la malva. Now listen carefully. The Oriv paid the malva, meaning the loiva defaulted, and the Oriv made payment to the malva. The kaidim shapara haloiva. And before the leiva, how does the leiva pay? The guarantor. He giyash nasa shmita. And then shmita passed, mishamet. Now what does it say here? It says here a very clear rule. It says, if I guarantee your loan, and I pay it, and I pay the loan, I become the malva. It's transformed into me being a malva. Which has which has two levels of ramifications on Hilchus Ribbis. If you borrow money from a non-Jew at interest, a regular case, you borrow money 10% interest, and I guarantee it, and then you default, supposed to pay in 1 year, you default, I pay. From then on, interest doesn't continue to accrue, because since now, even though legally I sort of bought the loan, legally the interest continues to accrue, but halacha wouldn't allow that, because since the oriv takes on the status of the malva going forward, so it can't accrue interest. We'll agree to that, right? Now that makes a very big problem. I'll tell you why. What? He took over in mid-loan.
Well, he gave the money to the guy.
So let's say in January the guy lent money to a person, and whatever, in September he defaulted, and I paid, so it becomes my loan as of December, as of September. That's the way we would look at it. Yeah. And we all agree that once the Jew becomes the Malva, he can't take on interest. Now, there's a Machlekes Rashi in the Rashbam, which is very negeh la halacha, probably the single biggest ribbis pitfall that people, mistakes that people make. Rav Rashbam argued in the following case. There are a number of types of oriv. The standard Gemara oriv doesn't exist today. The standard cosigner in the time of the Gemara, oriv stam, is someone who guarantees a loan. So Reuven lends Shimon, whether Jew or non-Jew, someone lends someone, I guarantee it. I don't have to pay until you take action in court to collect. In other words, you have to exhaust all your avenues of collection. And if they don't work, then the Ostam Oriv kicks in. Today, no one wants to be a Ostam Oriv. I don't want to have headaches. I'm lending someone money. I want a guarantor. I don't have headaches. What we do today is called an Oriv Kablon. An Orev Kablon means the Orev is Mekabel, that he has an equal status to the Loiva, which means the Malva has a right to go in the first place to whoever he wants. He can go to whoever he wants. That is a more extreme case in the Gemara. Something called the Orev Shloif Deitz. Orev Shloif Deitz means that I can only go to the guarantor and not to the borrower, which is not a common case at all. In the case of an Orev Shloif Deitz, it's clear that he becomes the borrower. He becomes, rather, the lender. The Orev becomes the lender. Orev Shloif Deitz means, you lend him money, and you come only to me. Don't even go to him. Just come to me. So in Halacha, I become the borrower, because I just didn't have the money, so you gave him the money, but I'm guaranteeing it in the first place. Now, where this is Negeya, is where a person takes a loan from a guy. A person takes a loan from a guy. A couple wants to buy a house. They go to a bank, a non-Jewish bank. They go to a non-Jewish bank, a non-Jewish lending institution, and they borrow money. No problem, they can pay ribbis. It's non-Jewish. But very often it's a young couple. They don't have credit. They don't have any credit rating that's suitable. So they go to the parents and they say, can you guarantee it? So the parents guarantee the loan. Sometimes they're co-borrowers. Let's even if they're just co-signers. If they would be an Orev Shloif Deitz, it would be Asa from the first minute. There'll be no Shiloh. Because they become the lenders to their children, and the interest is a problem. The interest is a problem because what's really happening is that even though the children pay the bank, but if I'm the parent who guaranteed the loan, if I'm the malva, that means the bank lent me, and I lent you. It was easier, I told the bank, you know what, give the money to him, and I'll be the malva. I'm your loiva, and I'm that malva. Orish Life Deitz means I'm a kabel to pay you. Whoever the kabel to pay is the loiva, and then I lent it to my children. In the case of Orish Life Deitz, it's halacha psuka. You can't be an Orish Life Deitz, a loan from a guy to a Jew with interest. Now, I could pay the interest. The parent could pay the interest. The child, even if he pays directly, he can't pay the interest.
What does Shloif Deitz
Schleiftais means you take the bundle off. Schleif, you remove the bundle from him. The loiv has no bundle, has no achrayas. I have the total achrayas. Rashi and the Rashbam argue, you know, in the Neshech, if you have a case of an Orav Kablon, Rashi Shita, which the Mechaber Paskins like, Mechaber Shachan Taz, all Paskin like Rashi, is that an Orav Kablon is the same as an Orav Shleif Deitz. Since the lender, let's not kid ourselves, the lender is lending the children. He says, they don't have a good credit rating, so I want a co-signer. His das is primarily on the co-signer. The co-signer is making it happen more than the borrower. Rashi Shita is that Orav Shleif Deitz has the same iser. That when the Orav guarantees a loan from the bank, he has a din of a loiva from the bank and a malva to the children. Which means to say, if it happened already, and people come to me all the time, we messed up, we did it, and I just heard a shear, and it's no good. What do we do now? What happened? A person co-signs a loan from the bank to their children, or to anybody, left after their children. So what really happens is the children only owe the principal. They don't owe the interest. The father owes the interest to the bank, and really the father has to pay the interest to the bank. That's what would definitely be the case in the case of an Orav Shleif Deitz. In the case of an Orav Kablon, all agree that you're not allowed to do it in the first place. Everybody agrees that you can't do it in the first place. The question is, and when they're co-borrowers, there's no heter. There's no Maslach Rashi in the Rashbam. When they put you down as a co-owner of the house and a co-borrower, it's a problem that has to be fixed. When you're a co-borrower, what? He is borrowing from the guy, but then he's lending it to his son. The house is the son's. So people tell me, but the house is in my name, it's my house. So I always ask them, Lachameya Vestrim, you want all your children to divide the house, or you want it to go to him? They always say, no, I want it to be his house. That means it's his house. When Frum Yidden have something on paper and have a verbal agreement between themselves to go to do it differently, the verbal agreement governs. We're assuming that people be honest and the house belongs to the children. In most cases, the other children are not going to claim a piece of the house. It's understood the house is his. Why is the father's name on the house? Only because that's the only way they can get a mortgage.
But the co-borrower is not a guarantee. The co-borrower, so the child is also a borrower to the bank.
So the co-borrowers. The problem is that it's really jointly and severally, which means each one is responsible for the whole thing, which creates something of an issue anytime partners borrow, anytime business partners borrow. Any business partners really need what we call a hetesk klali, because of the complications of the law today when you borrow money. But let me just finish. The halacha lemaisa, in the case where someone is a guarantor, which I said it's a machlekes Rashi and the Rashbam, the halacha lemaisa generally is that once it happened and you're a co-signer, we tell them, just make sure that you never default. Leave it. Now, as we go with the mahalach, that since you're a co-signer, but the other one's a borrower, and we go with the mahalach that the co-signer only kicks in if there's a default on the loan, and once it's done, we tell people you're not allowed to do it, because like Sassimon, you're not doing an agreement. But once it happens, we let it continue. The problem is where they're co-borrowers, or cases where the parents actually end up paying the loan, which creates issues which have to be addressed. So, of course, it can be structured. If you know in advance, it can be structured properly. And there are two ways. One is a het iska, and Ramesha has a tshuva. In which he says, you know, there's some people don't want to use hetesk for whatever reason. I've had cases, there's certain, by certain Sfaradim, I think the Syrians don't use hetesk. Instead of using hetesk, they dray in ways that make bigger problems than the hetesk itself. That's what I've seen. The Ramesha, though, has something called a sale lease agreement, which is used universally by those who are in Rivis, in all circles. Ramesha says if you're guaranteeing a mortgage for your son or a co-borrower for the son, draw a sale lease agreement. A sale lease agreement is a double agreement. It says, let's say the mortgage is 80% of the house. So it says that the agreement between us is that 80% of the house, no, it doesn't say 80% of the house. It says, whatever the value, let's say $800,000 worth of the house, it's a $1 million house, $800,000 worth of the house belongs to the parent or parents. It belongs to them. They commit to selling it to the child for $800,000, the value will go up. But they commit as, that's a sale agreement. The sale agreement is, they commit to paying, to selling it to the child for $800,000. And there's a lease agreement. The lease agreement says that they're leasing their part of the house to the child for a dollar value. What's a dollar value? So every amortization schedule has two columns. It has the principal column and the interest column. Now, as time goes on, you're paying off more and more principal, and there's less interest because the smaller the principal, the more the interest. So what we do is we take the principal side, and that remains principal. That's the sale agreement. Sale agreement is whatever they pay every month that's in that column is paying back the $800,000. Over the 20 or 30 years of the mortgage, they'll eventually pay $100,000 and sold. The other column is the lease value, which as time goes on, goes down. The interest goes down because you paid up more and more principal. Same thing here. The child bought more and more of the house. He pays less and less rent. And the rental goes down. The fact is that it works out. As long as interest rates stay in anywhere, in even not as low as today, but even the 10 to 12% range, the lease value, the second column, is usually a fair rental price for the for it. That's our Moshe sale lease agreement. Now, in my contract, the way I wrote it up in the Ribbis book, which is why my contract is you. If you Google sale lease agreement, you're gonna get the one I wrote, because people who do it just this way are creating problems. The lease has to be the interest plus the maintenance costs, because usually the child is paying the maintenance costs. He's paying the taxes. He's paying the insurance. He's paying to have the snow shovel. If the house belongs 80% to the father, why is he paying all the taxes? So what we did is the rental price is the interest column plus all costs associated with the house, insurance, taxes. That's all part of the lease price. And the mailer, that's a sale lease agreement. It avoids the het to iska taboo that many people have about a het to iska, and it works in a more glatto way. So that's why it doesn't say a percentage of the house. It says he agrees to sell his chelak of the house for X dollars, period. If you do a sale agreement with me today, a binding sale agreement, the price goes up tomorrow, you're stuck. You already did the sale agreement. See, here also, the father agreed to sell for $800,000. By the time the mortgage runs out in 20 or 30 years, it'll be worth more. Hopefully, you never know what with America, but it'll be worth more. So it doesn't matter. You have a sale agreement. The sale agreement is binding.
You sell the house, you just never pay the father back.
That's right. If you sell the house, you just pay.
Is he buying a percentage every month?
Each month, the sale lease agreement says a fine attached to this amortization chart.
The amortization is what he's buying.
The column label principal is what he's buying. The column label interest is what he's renting.
How is this different than a sale lease back?
It's probably no different, but I don't know what you're talking about.
So a corporation wants to raise money and it saves.
Okay, I don't want to get into other agreements, just because I'm not familiar with it.
Because all the hotels, all the expenses, okay. The renter.
No problem. In Eretz Yisrael, the renters always pay taxes, right?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So though we don't use those nuschais, because it's not real. you know, there's the old European Lashon of Tanoim, which Ramesh Reb Yaakov was strongly against. Because you're signing it, here's you, they're getting engaged, you sign an agreement that you don't mean to keep. That's a funny way to start a marriage. You sign an agreement, your father's going to bring Big Day Shabbos. Where's he bringing Big Day Shabbos? Not bringing Big Day Shabbos. And there's Arav Kavan, no, who's an Arav on it? So in the Chassidish world, they still use it because, as I am a Gefirit, and they still use it, whatever reason. But in the Yeshiva world, Rav Yaakov didn't use any, he refused to use any Tanoim. You go to a wedding, you want to have Tanoim, he said, get someone else to do it. He refused, you know, Sheker, he didn't want to be involved in Shkarim. And he refused to do it. There's a story that once there was a couple, Rabbi Yaakov and Sati Kedushin, and they didn't have children. And Chassidus Sharav told them it's because he didn't have Tanoim. So Rabbi Yaakov said, I'm sure that's not why, but I have to daven that you'll have children. Of course, the story has to end that they had triplets or something. And after that, Rabbi Yaakov told every couple, if you want Tanoim, I have no objection, get someone else to do it. You want to be a Moshe. So what Ramesha did is he made his Nusach of Tanoim, which in Yeshiva world today is used all over the place. Basically, it just doesn't say anything. It says, these two people agreed to get married in a few hours. And it says, Kfar Niskaimu Kolach Yuvim, whatever obligations there are, Kfar Niskaimu, Einlam Zuazu, Shum Tviya Shavailam, nobody's complaining. And he obligates himself to go to the Chuppah with his son, Yaakov is going to go with his daughter, and Shalom Yisrael. I remember at Chasanis, when I was once upon a time a young man, I remember Ramesha being Masada Kedushin. I remember particularly, I remember Hudi Summers today, I think he's already a retired Rebbe, but I remember his Chasanis distinctly, Ramesha with a flare, taking out a pen on the Tanoim, making a big X on the Tanoim, turning it over, and writing his Nusach. And writing his Nusach and the thing. Now, years later, I was Masada Kedushin in Canada, I remember it was Toronto or Montreal, and they didn't have Ramesha's Nusach. So I took on myself to write the Nusach for memory. I said, how can you rely on yourself to write the Nusach for memory? I said, because Ramesha said, it's just meaningless anyway. So what I wrote made sense. It said they were ready to go to the wedding. So maybe I missed a word here, a word there, but the whole point of Ramesha is, just do it to them that we agree to get married and shine. I do have to tell you, Rav Palm said, if he would have been by Ramesha, he would have said one complaint. It says, Kvar niskaimu kol achiyuvim. Tzarachos l'akalam, tzarachal l'achos. The promise is not always true. Sometimes the father agreed to buy a shas, but he didn't get around to it yet. Yeah, he'll do it. The Lashon, Kvar niskaimu kol achiyuvim, Rav Palm would have said, he would have just written that be'inyin kol achiyuvim, ein lam tayin zu'alzu. But, you know, Rabbi Zlatowitz said, you can always edit anything. Mm-hmm. If your editors don't have a deadline, he used to say, if Ravina Ravashi didn't have an editor's deadline, Shas would have never come out. They had to have somebody with a deadline. But anyway, that's the Nusach that we use. We don't use an Ariv on the Tanoim. Once upon a time, the Tanoim was a business contract. In Shulchan Aruch, it talks about breaking Tanoim, the Knossos, they were real. People broke Tanoim, there was a Knas on one side or on the other. That's the way it worked. And parents negotiated, they put it in writing. They had a kind of agreement in writing, and you know, there was no social safety net that there is today. We assume everybody, one way or another, have what to eat. Once upon a time, the world wasn't that way. And the Tanoim were taken very seriously. Baruch Hashem, today, it's not exactly that way. Kachiyuvim. Yes, it's a Tanoim. Can I call Kachiyuvim?
Why need it? Why even bother with it?
So Ramesh understood, listen, the ladies have to break a plate. Yeah. How are they going to break a plate without Tanoim? So you have to have Tanoim. They should break the plate. What? One of my impenetrables. Okay, anyway, Rabbi Sai, I want to get back to we're learning Shemitah Ksavim today, to the din of an Ariv. What we learned in this one line sif is that the Ariv takes the place of the Malva, and he becomes a Malva. When he pays the Kuli Alma, Ariv Shleif Deitz, the Kuli Alma, our typical Ariv, which is an Ariv Kablon, is already totally in two levels of machlaikis, which is a little complicated. That's basically the din of Ariv. There's one other prat I just want to share with you. Let's say somebody did it. He's an Arav. Reuven lent money to Shimon, and he was an Arav, and he was Arav Shalai Kedin, Arav Shalai Tides. What happened? Now, if you come to the Rav after 20 years, it's too late. You can't fix it anymore. Because how are you going to fix it? He already paid more money than the whole loan by the time 20 years passed. But very often they come 2 years, 3 years later. How do you repair it? There are numerous ways of repairing it, but they all depend on the following shaila. Let's say my son buys a house with a mortgage from a guy, and I guarantee it. Let's say the mortgage is $500,000, and you're paying how much per month? $500,000, $3,000 a month. I'm paying $3,000 a month. Okay, a year passed, he paid $36,000. Okay, and $500,000, paid $36,000. We realize there's a problem. What happened in that year when he paid the $36,000? Now, he shouldn't have paid it, because we're talking about a situation where the Arav is considered, I borrowed from the bank, and the bank lent to my son. It's the same situation when you lend someone a credit card. I have a credit card, the bank is lending me money. Now, even if I get them to put a different name, they could put Mickey Mouse on it. They'll put any name you send them on it, because you're the borrower, and you give the credit card to someone else. And this happens all the time. You give it to someone else, you let them use your credit card. You realize there's a problem. Let's say you borrow $500,000, he paid $36,000. When he paid the $36,000 on paper, it was interest. Let's say $30,000 was labeled interest, $6,000 was labeled principal. What do we do now? Now, if he paid my $30,000 of interest, I'm stuck. He paid my he's not paying, he was over in Isaribis. He was over in Aveira, I was over in Aveira, because he paid my interest. Ramesha has the following shita, which to me is so logical, it's hard for me to understand the Chalkin. Ramesha says, if you lend someone $500,000, let's say somebody never heard of Ribis, two Jews, I lend you $500,000, they call it what I call a balloon mortgage. You pay the $500,000 in 10 years. In the meantime, pay me, whatever, $36,000 a year. Right? Ramesha says, even if you label it interest, it's not ribbis. How could it be ribbis? I gave you $500,000. I got back $36,000. How in the world could that be ribbis? I got back less than I gave you. There are future expectations. That's fine. When the expectations of top $500,000, bang, at that time it's going to kick in.
But it's already in contract.
It's in contract, but the payment hasn't been made. Now, the contract is in Issa Laisa Simon. You're not supposed to do it. But Laisa Simon was done. The Sima, the contract was done. As far as paying Ribis, Ramesh says it's not shy. Now, this is very negar. There are people who took loans from organizations, whether it's credit unions, or banks, or bar lenders, they didn't realize they're Jews. And it's lachar ma'isa. Now they come, they borrow money from a credit union, they borrowed, whatever, $500,000. What do they do now? Well, according to Ramesha, they have 10 years. You don't have to do anything for 10 years. You're not going to pay them interest. They're not give you a choice. You're going to have to pay them. When you get there. So you took $500,000, Maharash, no big rash. For 10 years, it'll be $360,000. We'll talk about it in 10 years. You can keep on paying. Now, the interest will accrue. Eventually, the payment will be bigger. One of the yisoides in Hilchos Ribis is that each payment is the same aveira, whether it's a pruta or $1 million. If somebody owes, he's supposed to, and he is forced to pay, he's supposed to make one payment. Each payment is in Issa Ribis. So he's going to have to pay Ribis anyway. So, according to Ramesha, you could wait more than 10 years. 10 years is $360,000. You could wait 13 years. Eventually, at the end, you'll make one interest payment. But the whole thing with credit unions is that their terms are so favorable that people want it. Their rates are low. and people want to borrow from credit unions and want to continue. So it's not an emergency. Now wait, let me tell you, the Achelkim with Rav Moshe. I would say Rav contemporary place can disagree with Rav Moshe. And they hold that even though Rav Moshe is Mestaver, that the Arayis from Halacha not like him. The Arayis not like him. Shlomo Miller once told me, I once had the Shaila, I was on my way to, I was in Chicago, I go to the convention, so literally in the car on the way, someone from Lakewood called me. I told him, look, I do like Rav Moshe. You're in Lakewood. Shlomo Miller is the best in the Lakewood. I'm going to tell you to do it. I'm going to tell you you can wait 10 years. And then, 10 years from now, you're going to tell the Bez and say, no, that was us. Or, you can't pay. So I went to Shlomo Miller there. He said, I said, how can you argue with Rav Moshe? The Svara is so logical. See, he said, what should I do? The Rishonim don't name on like him. They say, if you label it interest, it's interest. And finish. You label it interest, it's interest. So at the end, we did come out with a Pshara, which I think, if I remember correctly, Shlomo was masking to. And that is the following. There's something called Mesiras Maidah. What's a Maidah? You have it in Shas. Maidah means, let's say, the Gemara is a case, someone kidnapped someone's child. He said, I'm not going to give you a child back until you agree to sign your house, to sell your house. So he agrees, as he's supposed to do. He blackmails him, where he has a secret, I'm going to tell the secret if you don't do it. Mesiras Maidah means, you go in front of two witnesses, see, I'm Maisa Meidah, that I'm doing this under duress. I'm not doing it by my own free will. Now, you're still going to have to prove it later. Because just because you say it doesn't mean it's true. But if you can prove that there was duress, and you're Maisa Meidah, so in the eyes of Halacha, whatever you did was not real. It was done without the ask, and you know, without the ask. So the agreement was pretty much to be Maisa Meidah in front of two Edom. That when you continue making the payments to the credit union or whatever it is, whatever institution it is, you're doing it under duress. You really want to make principal payments. You have $36,000 principal payments. You're under duress. They're not going to accept it. They're calling it interest, but you're not doing it willingly. And then a person can wait. You sort of buy the time to be able to have whatever favorable conditions you have, although ultimately you're going to have to come make a cash.
When he goes past his loan amount, he's basically lending money back to the institution, and then he's
going to
be
Mesiras Maidah does not help for an interest payment. An interest payment that I want to be a principal payment. So I'm not. I'm paying interest. There's no loan. You can't turn interest. Mesiras Maidah does not offer interest. Even get a Jew. As long as you don't pay him back. The way out, in the Ribbis book, the famous Ribbis book with the green cover, has an Eitzah there for Rabbanim. When people come to them, and they're stuck, they have to make a Ribbis payment. How do you save somebody? So it says, a very good Eitzah there, an ingenious Eitzah, I wish I would have thought of it. It says, get a third party to make the payment. The din is, Ribbis is only asa me loiva lomalva. A third, let's say I know that, remember Heshy Katz, you're still in the neighborhood. So he once had this with a credit card. He owed, I think it was $1.03 interest. I said, which credit card? Now the halacha is he can't obligate himself to pay you back. If someone says, pay for me, I'll pay you back, that doesn't work. Feresh halacha and kuf samach. But if the other person is willing to pay and lose the money, it was $1.03, I remember. I said, which credit card company is that? So he told me. So what I did is I mailed them a check for $1.03 on it. So they sent it back to me. They said, third-party checks have to be certified. So I had to get my, by then it was already $1.08 or something. I had to get it certified and sent in to pay. Yeah. But that's an eight. It's an eight if you can get. Now sometimes there's so much money, it's hard to get a third party. But
once it hits the 500,000, what happens then?
So once you hit the 500,000, you're gonna have to make one Ribbis payment. You're not allowed to make two out of the one. So what you could do is see how much the Ribbis is, and you make one payment. Rabbi Yashar has a tshuva that if you sign documents to pay Ribbis, and now you realize it's Ribbis, you don't want to do it, you don't have to wait. If you know he's going to take you to court and force it, you don't have to wait to go to court. He's going to be able to compel payment. You're allowed to write out a check and make the payment. Well, why go through the whole hassle? Why go at the end? You're going to have to make the payment anyway. So you have to make one payment. When you get to the end, you write out a check for the total interest and you pay off the loan. And in their view, you're paying off principal. But in your view, you're paying off interest. You make one ribbis payment, which you're going to have to make anyway. Because we're talking about someone who discovered, after he took the loan, he discovered that credit unions are problems. So now he discovers, he says, what should I do? I said, you're going to have to make one ribbis payment no matter what. Right? Because there's ribbis right now. You're going to have to make. So instead of making the small ribbis payment now, make one ribbis payment 15 years later or 13 years later. And it's, you can gain the 13 years window of having the money. Because the ribbis payment, each ribbis payment is also it's in pruta kedin meya, whether the ribbis payment is one pruta or 100 prutas, it's the same aveira.
So what do you gain?
You can have one aveira either way, but you mean what you gain by being maisa meida? Yeah, you're not allowed to do 300 aveiras. So if it's going to be 300 aveiras, you just have to settle the debt right away. Yeah. Which you're going to get anyway. What? You have to be maisa meida in front of two witnesses. If you refinance the guy, you have no problem. That's the best thing to do. Best solution is refinance through a guy or find a way to pay it off. Just find a way to pay off the take a home loan and pay it off. Okay, let's move on to Sivvav. Sivvav is also a very yeshivish sugya. Machaber Rama are totally separate. Let's learn the Machaber. Kol Dava Shvua Sheshvias Mishametes Mishametes Shivu Asai. Now we're not used to Shvuas. Our Bate Dinim today don't practice the Chi of Shvuas for reasons that I'm not going to get into now. But Lefikach Shvuas Hadayanim Ukiyaitzaba. What's Shvuas Hadayanim? You say my mix says you say I owe you $100. I say I owe you $50. Now, to give you advice, if it ever happens that someone owes you, says, you owe me 100, you know you owe him 50. What's the Eitzah Toiva? Heiluch. Remember Heiluch? In the beginning of Mitzvah, there's an exception to Maida B'Mikzas. If someone says, you owe me $100, I say, I owe you 50, Heiluch. And here it is. You pay him on the spot. It doesn't have a dim Maida B'Mikzas. So you have no Eitzahs when you're going into Bezin. It's a loophole. If you pay him on the spot, hey, look, it's not Maida B'Mikzas. But let's say you have a person who's not so smart. Sunday morning, he slept late. He didn't go to a shir in the morning. And he's a Maida B'Mikzas. So he sells you $100. Hey, oh, you're 50. What does Bezin say? You chayav shvua. Now, Shemitah passes. Does Shemitah absolve me of my shvua? What would logic dictate?
Well, the whole loan.
Logic would seem to dictate. Why shvua have to do with money? Shvua is shvua. So Shulchan Aruch says no. It says, "Kol dava shishis mishametes, mishametes shvua." It's mishametes shvua as well. That's pretty much. Lufikach shvua sadayanu mukiyaitzba. Shem haya ma'ida ba yais shvius mishametasai. If you're b'ma'ida, I do owe you 100, not just 50. Shviusim mishametes, mishametes shvua. It's mishametes shvua as well. Ava shvua hashaimrim. Vashutvim, shutvim here means shvuasasis. Ukiyaitzibem. Shemahaya baida by loyha yeshvias mishantasa. Shvuas hesis is a shvua from the time of Rav Nachman and on. It's interesting. Shvuas hesis is a code word for a certain level of shvua drabanan. Einod mitaveon ken yeshlai, there's a certain shchi of drabanan. By a shvua dairaisa, there are three types of shvua dairaisa. By the bimiksas, Shaimrim and Eirechot. Shuas, it was Eirechot against you. Those three are Shuas Teiraisa. If you refuse to pay, V'teich She'ena Yachol Ishbay, Nereitzel Ishbay Mishali. Shuas Drabanan, which is a Shuas Hesis, every Shuas Drabanan, if you don't swear, you don't have to pay. So what's the use in saying swear? Bezin pressures the person to swear. They put pressure on him. Sometimes they stop the davening and they say, Ischai Yeshua, he refuses to do it. They stop the davening, below davening. As it says in Halacha, Tufuk is not listening to the Bezdin. So they pressure him, but he doesn't have to pay. Therefore, Shuas Hashemrim as well, which we'll talk about, Vashutvuk, Yezben, Shemaya Baida Loya Yeshvius Misham Tasai, fish ain't pekadin. Shuas Hashem is a shuana pekadin. V'loy malva, ain't shvias meshamet a shvuas. Shvias is not meshamet, and the shvua, the obligation to swear, survives a pias de shvita. This is the basic din of shvuas. I just want to give you the chakira in Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Naftali, which the Talmud Rishayim really, actually even in Amayraim, the basic Torah, the Yeshiva Shechakira on Shvua Dairai says the following. Let's say someone's a Maida B'miktsas. I say, you owe me $100, I only owe you $50. Bezdin says, well, the 50 you might, you have to pay. The 50 you deny, you have to swear. If you don't swear, you have to pay. There are two ways of learning Mitesh and Yachalish B'mishalim. Why? The Torah said I have to swear. Why do I have to pay? If I don't swear, why do I have to pay? I'm not swearing. Why do I have to pay? There are two mahalachim. One mahalach is, the Torah says you have to swear. Why aren't you swearing? That itself creates a reyesa. The fact that you're refusing to swear creates a reyesa, which together with the fact that there's a teveya, sort of tips the scales and creates a fee of mammon. Because of the reyesa, you're not swearing. That's one way to learn. Other way to learn is, no. A shvua d'oraisa means you're chayiv mammon. You have to pay. You can get out of it by swearing. But be'etzem, there is a chiyuv mamon. But if you don't, you have a way out by swearing. Because the Torah understood by Moed B'miktsas, the Gemara has a cheshbon, that Ein Adam Meis Paneh B'Chayvai, and he's been Mishamit. So it's really a chiyuv mamon. And just that you can get out of it with a shua. What's a nafkamina? It's really a chiyuv mamon, you get a shua, or of your refusal to swear. Nafkamina is by lahavale lameda. Lahavale lameda means a man has a business. He dies, the yerushim inherit the business. And the man says, you have $100 in debt. They look up the records, they say, no, it's only $50 in debt. They say, okay, or my demiksa, swear. They say, I don't know. Why am I supposed to swear? I don't know anything. If you learn the first way, that the suspicion from the fact you're not swearing tips the scales, there's no suspicion. But I have a little meida. The Chazal call it an oinus b'shua. So he can't possibly swear. He doesn't know. So then you're not chayav mamon. If you learn the second, what?
The
Yarshim, they look up the records and say only 50.
The
Malva says you owe me 100. Supplier.
Who
to the Yarshim, in the document, it was the father's own document. The father kept records. He had a book, and in the book it said 50. So saying the 50. So if you hold, there has to be a reyesa. Am I not swearing? There's no reyesa. I have a leila meida. If you hold that it's be'etzem a chi of mammon, just so you can get out of it with a shrua. So if you can't get out of it with a shrua, be'etzem a chi of mammon. Those are two ways to learn. And either way, the second way is, of course, more gishmak, the shvius is meshametes, because be'etzem there's a chai mammon. And so shvius is meshametes a shrua. That's what we're learning here, except the shrua sesses. All right, the Ramah, Yitzhak Hashem, we'll get to next week. We're up to the Ramah.